Hey, right, come on, let's get fired up. It's the holidays. It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. What else? Who am I leaving out? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Then come on. Come on. Come on. Welcome to the Comparison Group Podcast. Today is December 21st, 2022. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do need a moment. Come on, let's get right to it. Turn the music down. Let's get right to the show. Let's not keep the people waiting. It's the holidays. People got things to do. People got gifts to give, gifts to get, turkeys to cook. Let's just get right down to business. I'm going to talk about, just yet again, some things in the media, you know, that just rubbed me the wrong way. I say CNN, but it's not just CNN. We all know that. It's all the media. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then if we have time at the end of the show, I want to present this story to you and ask you, is this racism? Is this racism? I'm not sure. So I'll present the story to you. You tell me if you think it's racist or not. All right. Please bear with me when I say for the millionth time, listen, you know, if you listen to this podcast, if you listen regularly, I appreciate it. I do. If you stumble across it on Twitter and you listen, I appreciate it. Trust me, I do. I hate sometimes just posting links to the show on Twitter, but again, I apologize. I don't know how else to get it out there. Just trying to promote it. Just trying to get it out there. Just trying to do a little something here. So forgive me for that. But if you're going to listen to it, at least try and hear what I say. If I get one more person asking me, do you expect me to be friends with someone who's okay with attacking public figures? Do you expect me to be friends? I'm supposed to be friends or be nice to someone who's okay with people who promote hate and violence? Now, this is a question in reference to my How to Be Friends with a Trump Supporter episode. I made it clear, crystal clear, in that episode, it's not possible to have a relationship with everyone who consider themselves Trump supporters. It's not possible to perhaps be friends with, have a relationship with people who are extremists. I said it. I preempted that question by answering it in the show so people wouldn't ask it, and people still ask it. They still ask it. I will say, one mistake I made, I wish I had done differently in the title. Maybe I should have put how to be friends in quotes, how to be friends, quote unquote, with a Trump supporter. Because I did say in the show, really, I mean how to be an acquaintance or how to have a conversation, or if you have a coworker who's a Trump supporter, maybe this is some suggestions as how you can get along, how you can have discussions with that person. But, you know, all that can't fit into a title. So I just made it how to be friends with. But here's the thing. Some people will comment to me without even listening to the show, without listening to the episode. They'll see the title, How to Be Friends with a Trump Supporter, and comment to me based on the title. I tell you, it happens way more than you would think with the Bernie Sanders. The show, the episode, I've told you this before, the episode I did, would I vote for Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump for president? I had people comment to me, well, how is that even a question? So I said, well, you got to listen to the show. Oh, no, thanks. No, thanks. Don't want to listen. Well, what are you commenting to me for? What kind of sense does that make? People say, you must be a fool if you think that's even a question. Now, I don't know whether they're Bernie supporters or Trump supporters, but they say you must be a fool if you think that's even a question. Who would you vote for, Trump or Bernie Sanders? Well, I guess I must be a fool. But with all due respect, you're a fool if you comment on the title of something and you don't even listen to it. How'd you like the movie Black Adam? It sucked. Oh, you saw it? No, I didn't like the title. The Rock's not even black. How can he be Black Adam? It's just stupid. But I know what happens. There are some people, they see the title, How to Be Friends with a Trump Supporter. They say, oh, this ought to be good for a laugh. Let me click on this and listen to it for 30 seconds. See what this idiot's got to say. And then I say, hey, listen, I happen to believe there are some people who voted for Donald Trump who aren't bad people. I happen to know some of these people. And I think if you have a respectful relationship and conversation with them, if you think they're in a bubble, if you think they're misinformed, well, maybe you can help them out. That's all. Just a suggestion. Not everyone, but some people. So it doesn't sound so much like an idiot, so people don't like that. They don't like that. They'd much rather I sound like an idiot when it comes to how to be friends with a Trump supporter. You know what? Let me do this real quick. Let me just talk to the people on the left real quick. Let me straighten them out, the people on the left. Trump supporters, my Trump supporter friends, my Trump supporter listeners, go ahead and turn the volume down for 30 seconds and let me just talk to the folks on the left, okay? Listen to me now. You don't think I know these people are straight up outside of their minds? I know it. I got eyes. I got ears. I know they're crazy. You know they're crazy. But we got to get along with these people. We got to have a relationship with them. We need these Trump voters. We need conservatives in this country. These cattle and hogs ain't going to slaughter themselves. And I'm not eating plant-based burgers. I like steaks. I like bacon. I know Donald Trump is the worst thing to happen to this country since skinny jeans on men. I know it. But come on, help me out here. We got to try and get along with these people. Okay. All right. So my Trump supporters, you can come back now. Let me get into this first clip I want to play from left-leaning media. Okay. And before I play it, I should say I like this particular show. The show that I'm about to play, it's a podcast. It is the Slate Political Gabfest, okay? And I listen to all forms of media, as I've told you before. I like Slate Political Gabfest podcast. I like Politics Girl podcast. I think she's good, gives you a lot of information. I like Dan Bongino podcast. He's a guy on the right. I watch The Five on Fox News. I watch Jake Tapper on CNN. I watch Morning Joe on MSNBC. I listen to Joe Madison on Sirius XM Urban View. All good shows. Now, why do I listen to all that? Because I have nothing better to do? Yes, partially. But also because it makes it easier to spot crazy when you hear it. Crazy like this. Listen to the clip.
So comes data from the election this week, primarily in the form of a long article by Emily's New York Times colleague, Nate Cohn, that Republicans won the popular vote in 2022 pretty handily. The narrative has been, what a win for the Democrats. They just narrowly lost the House, held the Senate with room to spare, with Sinema asterisk next to it, and took some governor's races, took some state legislatures back. But it turns out that if you add up all the votes, Republicans won by 2 points. So, John, did we get the whole story wrong? Was this, in fact, a good election for Republicans and the media has been misunderstanding it?
No.
I'll play the rest of his answer in a minute, to be fair to this particular host. No. Do you remember? I did a couple of shows, but I did the show right after the election, right after the midterm elections. And I said, I honestly don't know what Democrats are celebrating, because they were celebrating the big victory. The media was celebrating the big victory. And I said, well, I don't know if this is so much of a big victory. People didn't like me saying it. People on the left didn't like me saying it. I could tell. But I didn't understand what was the big victory. The narrative in the media for a good month was it was a victory for the Democrats, a victory for democracy, and Joe Biden was vindicated. Joe Biden went out and he talked about these MAGA Republicans and saving our democracy from these MAGA Republicans. And people said, oh, Joe, maybe you shouldn't have done that right before the election. But he was vindicated. That's what the narrative was in the media. So, yes, the media got it wrong. Let me go ahead and play the rest of his answer, though.
No. They should have won more races. They didn't win as many races as they should have. That's why it's a bad election for them. It is interesting in figuring out the vote that it's why that happened. And it wasn't because Republicans didn't turn out in those key Senate races in particular. They turned out. They just voted for the other candidate, because it turns out if you pick people who are wholly so unqualified that that it's an embarrassment that voters, even in your own party, will go vote for the other side. So what we learned there is that there is that split ticket voting is still alive, although I think the data show that it's alive, but only in those extreme circumstances that you really have to run a Mehmet Oz or a Herschel Walker.
OK, so first of all, I'm confused. The Republicans won the popular vote in the midterms by 2 points. OK, so I think that means, and I could be wrong, but I think that means Republican candidates got more votes. This gentleman seems to be saying, well, yes, there was good turnout on the Republican side, but the Republicans, some of those Republicans voted for Democrats. Well, then that doesn't have anything to do with the popular vote, the number of votes that Republicans, the number of more votes Republicans got versus Democrats. I'm confused on that. But on a whole nother note, let me put it to you this way. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, okay, and they got a big game against division rival New York Giants, but you can't watch the game. You got to go to bed. You can't stay up late to watch the game. And the next day you get up, you get in the car, you turn on your sports radio channel, and they say, boy, we'll tell you what, the Eagles really showed up to play last night. It wasn't even a game. The New York Giants, it was like they didn't even show up to play. You listen to that, you go to work, and you go, cool, the Eagles blew out the New York Giants last night. And then your friend at work says, oh, no, the Giants bus broke down. They never showed up. Well, did the sportscaster get the narrative wrong? I mean, technically, no. He's right. The Eagles showed up to play. The Giants didn't, and it wasn't even a game. But can you see how misleading that can be? Can you see how misleading that can be when you say, oh, no, it wasn't a bad election for the Democrats. The Republicans just put up horrible candidates. Well, that don't make it a good election for the Democrats. That does not make it a big victory. I said that 2 shows ago. As I say, I don't get it. Sometimes it does seem like people are catching up with stuff that I say, and I'm just some small little guy sitting in the closet doing the podcast. I don't understand it. I just don't. Every single person on the left was calling it a huge victory for Democrats and Biden. We can't deny that. They were. They were putting the dirt on Donald Trump's grave. He was done. All his people that he was backing, oh, they all lost. The election deniers lost. And now a month, month and a half later, they're saying, oh, you know what? Republicans won the popular vote. And oh, by the way, not all the election deniers lost. The big ones, the big name ones, yeah, sure, they lost. But there were a lot of election deniers who won in smaller races. So did the media get it wrong? No. What? What? Let's move on. Herschel Walker. It seems like forever ago that we had that runoff election, and I haven't done a show since then, so I haven't talked about it. But the question from CNN, from people on the left, how did Herschel Walker get so many votes? Who are these people voting for Herschel Walker? I love it when CNN sits around a table asking each other questions. Why don't you ask the people? Why don't you ask the people who voted for Herschel Walker? There was a young lady from the Washington Post who did. I have the clip, but I'm not going to play it. I'm trying to keep this short. I can't play too many clips here. But she went out and she talked to some of the people voting for Herschel Walker and asked them why. And they said, hey, look, the accusations, they're just accusations. Another person said, while I don't agree with him on his positions on certain things, they're his positions. I have my positions. I'm still voting for him. You know, kind of what you would expect the people to say. What you would disagree with, what I might disagree with, but not outwardly crazy or violent or extremist, just regular people. Just regular people who just clearly do not see things when it comes to Herschel Walker the way we do. Simple as that. But you got to go talk to him. You got to go ask him. If you ask me, I'll tell you. I think there are people who voted for Herschel Walker who said, it is my civic duty. I vote in every election, and I'm not going to miss this one, and I'm not voting for a Democrat. I don't care who it is, Herschel Walker. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I don't care who it is, but I'm not voting for a Democrat. Then I think there were other people who said, you know what? I'm voting for Herschel Walker for purely economic reasons. Don't care about anything else. I want him to get into the Senate. I'm hoping that if the Democrats can split the Senate or the Republicans can split the Senate or have some control in the Senate, it'll stop Joe Biden from raising my taxes or taking my guns, whatever. Whatever their issue was, they're saying, I want Herschel Walker to be there to fight for it. Abortion, whatever it is. There were other people who voted for Herschel Walker who said, I'm voting for Herschel Walker because I'm pissed off. As simple as that. It's a protest vote. Ooh, and I hope he doesn't win. And then the next day they said, oh, thank goodness he didn't win. But they still voted for him because they wanted to send a message that they're pissed off. And then there were still yet other people who voted for Herschel Walker who said, I like this guy. I like what he says. He's my kind of guy. So you got all different kinds of people. If you ask them, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. It seems CNN wants to sit around a table and ask each other and scratch their heads and go, boy, I don't know. We can't figure it out. I wonder why. You know, these people aren't dumb. All of these people aren't dumb. It seems people on the left think they are the only ones who understood the difference between a 51-49 Senate versus a 50-50 Senate. Well, no, people on the right realized how important that was, too. And so they turned out to vote. Vote for Herschel Walker. Even if he wasn't the best candidate, he was the candidate on their side. Next, CNN and all left-leaning media, can you please, if you do nothing else in 2023, can you please stop reporting on Donald Trump's every brain fart? I'm begging you. Not because I'm sick of Donald Trump. I'll never get sick of Donald Trump. It's because I think it's the job of media to inform, which is why I gave you a wide range of shows I watch or listen to earlier, remember? Those shows I mentioned go from hard right to progressive because I want to be informed by media, not told stories just to make me feel good about myself. So if CNN wants to inform its viewers about what's going on in right-wing politics, they might want to start talking about the people and media outlets that have the most influence in right-wing politics. Guess what? It ain't necessarily Fox News. It ain't necessarily Tucker Carlson. And call me crazy, it ain't even Donald Trump. It's companies like Cumulus Media and iHeartRadio. Oh, iHeartRadio? Oh, they're a nice company, aren't they? They do that nice Christmas concert every year. iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia used to be Clear Channel Communications. And some people out there might know a little something about Clear Channel Communications. I'm not going to get into it now, but they are not a friend to the left. And they control thousands upon thousands of radio stations across this country with millions upon millions of listeners. People like Mark Levin work for Cumulus Media. Mark Levin probably has 5 million listeners a day. A day. Tucker Carlson barely breaks a million a night. I mean, he might be in the low hundreds of thousands. I don't even know. I can't remember. But get a load of this. Tucker Carlson is no longer the number one cable show in the evening. Tucker Carlson is no longer the number one cable show on Fox News. The Five is now the number one show on Fox News. Who knew that? But where's all the focus? Where's all the focus on the left? Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson. Look what Tucker Carlson said. You want to know what extremists are thinking? Keep talking about Tucker Carlson. Keep talking about Donald Trump. You want to know what conservatives are thinking? You better start listening to some of these other media shows and figure it out. CNN, you better start talking about some of these other media shows and figure it out. But for now, for right now, let's stop behaving on the left, if you're on the left, let's stop behaving like Donald Trump becoming president in 2024 is a reality. Let's just stop acting like it's a reality and it will stop being a reality. Your obsession with stopping Donald Trump from becoming president in 2024 is probably what will make it happen if you keep it up. Think of it this way. Remember John Hinckley? What if John Hinckley applied for a job with the Secret Service? John Hinckley, the guy who shot Ronald Reagan. What if he applied for a job with the Secret Service? He'd have to fill out an application and they'd ask him, have you ever been incarcerated? Yeah. What for? Shooting the president. So he's fresh out of the mental hospital and he wants to apply for a job at the Secret Service. I'm assuming that would not be a reality. So just imagine Donald Trump has to fill out an application to become president again. And he would be asked, is there anything we should know about your past, you know, your recent history? Have you ever been involved in any coups to overthrow any governments? I mean, not for nothing. Hinckley seems to be the one who understands he did something wrong. Between the two, you know, you kind of go, you know, one is cured and one isn't. So I just don't know if it's a reality and should be treated as a reality for Donald Trump to be president again. And I know it's confusing because I say all the time there are good Republicans and good Trump supporters. And I mean it. And I believe it. Like I said, because I know them. And they, you know, they don't like me saying these things, but they laugh. They laugh. You should laugh. So they laugh. You know, they laugh. And so it can be confusing when I say I like Trump supporters. I have friends that are Trump supporters, while at the same time saying you'd be better off with John Hinckley protecting a president than you would with Donald Trump being a president. But just keep listening to the show. It'll all make sense. I'm not going to continue to go on with it. I'm going to try and cut things short here. I was going to get into this story about this college student and racism. Was it racist? Was it not racist? I have my opinion, but maybe I'll save it. Maybe I won't get into it right now. I don't know. What should I do here? Let me try and do it quick. Maybe if I kind of whittle down some of the clips that I was going to play. All right, let me see if I can do it in like 5 minutes or so. Okay. I stumbled across this on Roland Martin's show. If anybody knows Roland Martin, he's been around for a long time now out there in the media, guy from the left. And apparently there was a college student, young lady from an HBCU, historically black college, Winston-Salem State, I believe it was, who got into an argument in a classroom with a professor. All right. So as the story goes, the professor gave her an assignment. The professor then said she didn't do the assignment correct and she needed to redo it or revise it. The student felt she wasn't given enough time and an argument ensued in the classroom. Let's listen to a little bit of the audio from the argument in the classroom first, all right?
I swear to God, I hate you, bro. You're the worst teacher ever. You can get me taken out of here because I want to apologize. Because I want to apologize. You started yelling at me. You tried to embarrass me about my paper. You're a terrible teacher.
Is somebody recording this?
Oh, everybody is.
You're recording everybody.
Because that's ridiculous.
Yes, that really is.
She's doing her job to letting this shit happen. She sit here and say she loves black people and stuff, but you let this happen to her?
Come on now.
No, you have yelled at her first. You yelled at her first, but you want her to apologize. It doesn't make any sense.
Let me just try and just sum this up, because like I said, I'm going to try and keep it short. I would encourage you to go to YouTube and look up the clip, Roland Martin, Winston-Salem student. If you just put that into YouTube, Roland Martin, Winston-Salem student, send some people his way and watch the entire 26-minute clip that he has up on YouTube and make up your own mind what you think. All right. I'm going to tell you what I think. But before you get mad at me, before you agree with me, before you disagree, go watch the clip and then you determine what you think. All right. Here's what I think from what I heard, from what I can gather. And all I can go by is what I saw in the clip. There's a whole lot of supposition going on Roland Martin's show, but I'm going to try and limit that as best I can. There are some things I'll, you know, kind of assume here based on my experience, but I'm going to tell you what I think based on what I heard, what I saw. This young lady had a problem with this professor. There's no doubt in my mind. This wasn't something that just blew up on this particular day. This particular student had a serious problem with this particular professor. Just listen to this one little part again.
I swear to God, I hate you. I swear to God, I hate you. I swear to God, I hate you, bro. You're the worst teacher ever. You can get me taken out of here because I don't want to apologize.
Now listen. I haven't heard someone screaming, I hate you, with that much anger since I bought my wife jewelry at Big Lots for her birthday. All right? So there was no question this student didn't like this professor. Maybe this professor didn't like this student. I don't know. What I do know is when we start to say things are racist because this incident involved a black student and a white professor, and the young lady was arrested by a white police officer, when we start pointing all of those things out, I have a problem with it. When we take someone's actions that were at best out of line, at worst downright ignorant, because she admits she posted a video to TikTok or whatever the student did, that she admits she yelled at the teacher, she dropped the F-bomb, she cursed at the teacher, yelled at the teacher, argued with the teacher. So her behavior was not exactly exemplary leading up to her arrest. She was told by the teacher to leave the classroom while they were arguing back and forth. She wouldn't. The police showed up and asked her to leave the classroom, which she says, the student says in her video. She says, first, it was a black police officer who came into the classroom and tried to get her to leave, or at least tried to de-escalate the situation and talk to her. And then a white police officer came in, and he was the one who apparently arrested her. Well, not really. They both arrested her. But the bottom line is, she wouldn't leave. She got arrested because she wouldn't leave the classroom. I think when we feel a need to constantly make things about race that aren't clearly about race, pointing out white professor, white police officer, black girl arrested, I think it does a disservice to the many examples we can point to in this country when there is racism or discrimination. Now, I didn't know if I was off base. I asked a couple of people. I asked my dad. I said, hey, Dad, check this story out. What do you think about this? And he said to me, when he was a little boy, he was in school, he was acting up, and the teacher came over and grabbed his arm and dug her fingernails into his arm, drawing blood. So he went home, told his mom, my grandma, and he said his mom took off up to that school looking for that teacher to set her straight, which she did. And then he said when they got back home, she beat his butt. And she told him, just because that teacher didn't have any right to put her hands on you does not excuse your behavior. You know what? Let me play. I'm trying to keep this short, but let me play a little bit of this young lady's post. Hang on.
So basically, we had a group project assigned as a final, which is probably the dumbest thing, but I'm not here to critique her on her learning. We had a group final, we had to write a paper, and we had to also make up a skit for our group to present. It was 7 of us. I did most of writing the skit just because I wanted to. It was easy and it was fun for me. Well, I thought it was easy. I did the essay as well. She got back to me late, 6 hours before we had to present, actually, saying that my essay was completely wrong and I should revise it. All this shit, and I'm just like, I'm not going back and redoing this essay. That took me 2 weeks, and you told me 6 hours before. I'm not redoing it. And I think I'm pretty okay for that. It won't kill me. I think that wasn't a bad idea of not redoing it.
I didn't edit that in any way. I don't know why she's talking so fast. But in any case, if you caught what she was saying, basically, she's saying she had this assignment. She didn't like the assignment. You heard her start off by criticizing it. It was dumb. So she says, I'm not here to criticize, after she gets done criticizing. And then she says, I'm not doing it. The teacher said she did it wrong, revise it, and she said, I'm not doing it. What? Since when do students tell the teacher, I'm not doing that? First of all, I don't like the assignment. Second of all, you're not giving me enough time to revise it, so I'm not doing it. Now look, between you and me, and this is just me, I went to college. You give me 6 hours and some no-dos, I can get a lot done. I mean, that's just me. I'm not kidding you. I wrote a 25-page marketing report in a night, knocked it out, got an A. I think A minus, because I had some misspellings at the end because I was falling asleep. But in any case, I don't know the deal. I don't know what the truth is. It's always somewhere in the middle, right? I'm sure the professor has her side of the story about this assignment and how much time she gave and what was expected. And this young lady has her story, and the truth is probably somewhere there in the middle. But what are we doing all of a sudden where students are telling teachers, I don't like your assignment. I don't like your corrections to my what I did, and I'm not doing it. Since when are we okay with that? Since when is that proper behavior? And then you're going to come to class and get into an argument in class with the teacher because you say the teacher yelled at you first? That's your excuse for getting into the argument? The teacher yelled at you first? I don't know. I'm missing something here. I truly am missing something here because I remember a generation where they used to say, hey, listen, you keep your mouth shut when grown folks are talking. Like, that's kind of how, you know, I think a lot of people were raised. Keep your mouth shut when grown folks are talking. Respect your seniors. Respect authority. Don't let them disrespect you, of course, but you respect authority. And you can say, well, she's not a little kid. She's grown, folks. Go listen to her whole TikTok presentation. She may be, you know, I don't know, 18, 19, 20 years old. I'm not sure her exact age, but I'm telling you, go listen to the whole TikTok presentation. She's not exhibiting the maturity that you might like to see. And the maturity you might like to see is a young lady who says, you know what? I think the teacher could have done better, could have explained things better to me, could have given me more time on the assignment. But you know what? I was probably in the wrong for my outburst in the classroom, and I probably should have just left when she told me to leave and went and cooled off. That's all. That's exhibiting maturity to me. And none of that points to any racism. None of that points to racism. Now, look, if you present me with new information, if you tell me this professor is a former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, I'll change my opinion. But as of right now, I haven't heard anything. I'm not seeing anything that tells me that this professor has a history of racism. Roland Martin points out that she doesn't get a very good score as a good professor. But you also see in what he posts up that the class is considered a 5 on the scale of difficulty. So what do you give a professor who gives you a difficult course or a lot of homework? You give him a bad score. So, I mean, come on. We got to be reasonable here. We really do. Because what really bothers me about this, when this gets turned into racism, gets made into racism when I really don't think it should have been, what do you think is next? The young lady says in her TikTok video, I'm starting an email campaign. My mom is behind me. My classmates are behind me. I'm starting an email campaign against the teacher. So here we go. Here's a teacher who, if she was racist, probably made a mistake by going to work at an HBCU. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a racist teacher to go, you know, I want to go teach young black people. They're our future. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So while this teacher may not be the friendliest teacher, the teacher that students are going to say are amongst their most like teachers, now she has to deal with people coming after her job. Now she's got to deal with that. She's got to deal with this email campaign. She's got to deal with this attention she never wanted and people coming after her job because she simply wanted the student to calm down. Calm down. That ain't right. You know that ain't right. This teacher's job should not be placed in jeopardy because of this outburst, regardless if both were at fault, regardless as if the student overreacted, if the teacher could have handled it better, if the young lady should not have been arrested, the teacher's job should not now be in jeopardy. People should not be calling for her to be suspended or fired or reprimanded for this. And again, I'll say it. Don't make everything about race. You're not doing a service to us. You're just not. You know, sometimes, some days, people just get up and they say, you know what? This ain't the day. This ain't the day. The next person that looks at me wrong, I'm going off on. And maybe that professor just happened to be the next person. Maybe that student just happened to be the next person. And there was going to be a blow up no matter what. So chalk it up to that and move on and save your outrage for when it's really necessary. Like when The Rock plays Black Adam. That's the show. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Some people will agree with what I said. Some people will disagree. That's fine. That's the show. You know that. Comment to me. Like I said, I don't think it's racism. If you do, let me know. comment to me on Twitter at @comparison_show. @comparison_show. Go to my Instagram, Comparison Group Podcast. Don't forget to follow the show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, everywhere you get podcasts. Come on, you know the deal. You know the deal. You know where the show is. I'm probably going to try and squeeze out one more show. One more show before the end of the year. And that show will be my New Year's resolution show, in which I will give you a can't-miss, can't-fail New Year's resolution that you can keep. Guaranteed to keep. So be sure to tune in for that next show. When will it be? I have no idea. Whenever I feel like it. Don't forget to visit the website that I mentioned, the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com. You can go there for sources and fact checks. I don't know if I'll put up any sources and fact checks from the show. I don't know if I had any. But you can find past episodes. You can find sources and fact checks for past episodes. And let's come on, let's get caught up on some of these episodes. I know people are busy during the holidays. Sometimes they can't get around to listening to the podcast. But come on now. Come on now. Got to get caught up. I'm jamming. Jamming to this Christmas music. Let me dance. Watch me dance. Come on now. Watch me dance to the Christmas music. Put on my Santa Claus hat. Thanks for listening. Everyone stay safe. Everyone give their families a big hug during the holidays. Everyone forget everything that happened this last year. And we'll wake up ready and renewed and fresh for 2023. I'll see you next time.